doing this, the actual implementation of this, guys, with the technology and it's, that's not the hard part. All like, this is very easy to do, to implement. The biggest obstacle is that it's change and it's your mindset. Most loan officers that we know run their entire business off their personal cell phones until one day they realize they can't answer every call anymore. And in this business, if you're not answering the phone, someone else is gone. Today, we're talking about one of the simplest systems top producing teams use to protect their business, their time, their sanity, the team phone and team email. With Lending Leadership, with the Mortgage Pros, I'm Robert Filyaw. Dave Holland and Tom Mills joining me as usual. What's up, guys?
How you doing, Robert?
What's going good. On?
I'm good. Listen, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I am going to claim that I invented the team email concept and was one of the first originators to really put it in place and run with.
What year was it?
So
what
I'm claiming it.
What year was it, Robert?
Circa 2015,
2016. You have me beat.
Maybe. You learned it from me, so I know I had you.
I don't know that I could say Robert created it, but I did learn it from him. So I'll give you that.
Sounds like I created it. So listen, let's be real, right? Most originators, everything runs through them. They are the end all be all. It's on their cell phone. They're on their email. They're on like all the calls, and that's great until it's not, until you hit a certain point, and then that system's just not sustainable. It breaks, and it actually becomes a liability at that
point. What do we call that, Robert, when one person is a single point of failure?
Single point of failure, bottleneck, like pick a term. Right. Well,
completely. I mean, you're being coached and taught, hey, you got to be doing income producing activities. You got to be meeting with people. You got to be out of your office. Well, when you are, you're going to miss phone calls. So it's like you're fighting to get deals. So you're meeting with people to get deals. But if you're not able to answer your phone in the middle of that meeting, you may have just lost $3,500.
And there's nothing more obnoxious than meeting with someone or talking with someone, and every 7 to 10 minutes, they have to take a call because they're so focus, and I understand it. They're so focused on missing a call because there could be thousands of dollars on the other line.
Yeah. Yeah. So I looked at this morning, right? And we get it. Like we understand why you're tethered to the phone. ChatGPT told me that speed to lead within the first 1 to 5 minutes increases your conversion odds by 10 times. Mm. 10 times increases your conversion odds. So the phone has to be answered. Right. So as you're building and you're growing, the solution is you have to make sure the phone's answered, but it can't always be you. As you're adding that teammate in, that's when it's time to start thinking about a team phone and a team email system.
Probably 50% of referral partners give two to three names out. So, yeah, if you're not able to answer the phone, typically it's on to the next. If they answer the phone, they spend time with them, they get into an application, you might not get them back on and have an opportunity at it. And that's what's key. That's what this is about. Then there's the evolution that, you know, you get so busy that you become so busy that it's hard to focus on the things that you're supposed to do because you're becoming a slave to your phone. And that's just not like 8 to 5. That's in the evenings. It's the weekends, during your kids' events. So it's really, you know, not just to save, you know, create revenue by having it in place and to save from losing deals, but it's also to save your sanity and have a work-life balance and be able to enjoy your time outside of work, but still make sure that your clients are getting service and phones getting answered.
And we should say, before we get too deep into this conversation, some people are not able to handle this. Some people will actually drive themselves more crazy by attempting this and attempting a team email. And there's a certain tipping point, and I don't know what that tipping point is. So I'll throw it back to you guys. When do you know you've outgrown your cell phone, a single cell phone, when you're a single point of failure? At what point? I guess a lot of it depends how many hours you're willing to put in.
I think a lot of it depends on, you know, when are you able to bring support in, right? Because that's kind of the big question.
You need to have somebody else to be able to answer the phone. Yeah, to be able to if
you may have outgrown it, right? But if you don't have someone else to pivot to, you might have a system. And listen, it could be something as simple as an answering service to begin with, right? But I mean, some warning signs, like if you're out there and you're like, I feel like a infomercial for a disease or something now. If you have these signs, it's a warning that you may need team email and team phone, right? If your wife's on you about you're always on your phone, like you can't disconnect. If you're missing deals, like you aren't able. If you're out, like I used to remember, I'd be at closings and at realtor offices, and I would come back to the office, and I would have like six messages to return, and five of them were new leads, and now I'm calling back, and they've already talked to someone, and now I'm in a knife fight for the deal, right? If your clients and your agents, most importantly, your agents are complaining that you're really hard to get a hold of sometimes, like that, there's your sign. Like they're telling you, they're giving you the feedback. These are all warning signs that, you know, it may be time to start looking at some team phone, team email. And more importantly, it's time to start looking for some help if you don't have it.
But I believe you put it in place, you know. Once you get to a level that your business can substantiate, you know, dedicated support, I think you put it in place right away.
I agree. I think once you add that next layer, you need to start moving some of the communication from your personal self to a team system. And Dave, you're spot on. Like I've made this mistake when we've tried to plug people in where they've been the one man band, and then I try to make them a piece of an orchestra. And they lose their damn minds. Like they're not ready for it. It's like taking someone from a bicycle and putting them in the cockpit of a jet. And I missed all the steps in between. So the key to this, guys, is baby steps. Like take a little step and get comfortable with it. Leave your cell phone, like get the team line and have them start working on that while you're still doing your cell phone, right? Eventually you want to migrate over, but that team line say, hey, like you can forward your cell phone and you answer calls for the next hour. And start there. Like you can start small.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally don't publish my cell phone anywhere. It's only the team line and it's only the team email address. And I don't do that because I don't want to talk to customers. I still talk to several customers a day because I like it. I do it because I don't want things that get lost on my cell phone or in my email. Like I'd rather have it go to the team with four or five people looking at it. And then if I go away, someone else is looking at it as well too. And the other problem I think we all know is when you are a one man band and it's your cell phone and your email, you can truly never unplug. You can't take a vacation. I was in South America this winter in January, and I didn't look at my email, my text, or my cell phone for 7 days. And I wasn't worried about it because I knew my team. I knew my team had it. And if I was the only person, I would have probably had to leave my cell phone at home or figure something out.
You'd have been working 4 or 5 hours a day.
It also, you're simplifying the channels of communication for the customer because they don't want to remember, you know, your assistance number and your number. There should be one number. They're calling. They know they're getting service at that number. Somebody's going to answer it. That's really important. The customer doesn't want to call around to find the person that they, I mean, hopefully they're not doing a lot of calling in. You're on offense, but you know, that's really important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as you're bringing that first team member on, that's the time to start establishing it, start transferring to using that number. It's not flipping a light switch. That's one of my favorite metaphors, right? It doesn't happen overnight, and that's okay. For most of you out there, you don't want it to because you're going to clinch up and try to pull it back. So start thinking about what are some of the baby steps that you take? How do you make sure that the calls get answered? You know, what systems are you going to use? The technology that's out there with the soft phones, whether it's Ring Central or LeapPad, or there's a handful of them, are fantastic, right? Texting, you need to think about that as a feature, right? Like this is something that could be as easy as you get a second phone with the number on it and you leave it for your team so they start answering text, right? Texts blow my day up. So there's a hundred different ways that you can structure this. There's no one right answer, right or wrong. The key is that you do it as you're starting. I think it's a whole lot easier to do it as you're bringing team members in, and that's the norm moving forward, rather than now you've got a four-person team and you're trying to get them used to this and adapt to it.
Absolutely.
Dave, what's your hours of operation now on your team line?
8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the weekend. And then on the weekend, generally, I'll answer calls or emails and text early. Like, I'll jump in on that because usually it's not a real heavy burden. And, you know, if someone, you know, texts or emails very late at night, I'll get them like at 6 a.m., right? So at least they feel they've been heard and they can relax. And then if things roll in past 6 p.m., often I'll just jump on and say, hey, thanks so much. Here's some brief information that you need. And then we'll be on first thing in the morning. Or send them an, you know, our online application. But I'm not doing heavy work. It's a quick 30-second message. I get requests. You know, some people say, can you call me at 9 p.m.? I said, I'm polite about it. I said, 9 o'clock is, you know, I'm in bed or spending time with my family. That's not an option. I mean,
I think it's important that when you set that up, if weekend time is something you're trying to protect, if weekend's where you know you're missing opportunities, then you know, you may have an assistant or assistants. So it's really important you start, or maybe you're hiring, you know, you're going to put that in place, that you set that expectation and work a schedule out that's going to accommodate that. Because people don't want to work Monday through Friday and then also work on Saturday. You know, you get some unicorn assistants, but in reality, they want work-life balance too. So you have to give that to them. You have to give them some flexibility in a weekday. So you probably do like a Friday afternoons off or things like that on the person that's covering the weekend. It's really important to think about that and be respectful of the person on your team, because you're not trying to take your life that's being wrecked and start wrecking theirs without any regard.
Yeah, this really is about teamwork, guys. And it's about setting those boundaries. We did an on-call day, you know, with my team. If you were on call during the weekend, you got a day during the week off. And you know what? They actually loved it, because then they got a day during the week where they could schedule all the stuff that a lot of times they weren't able to do during the weekend. Ultimately, my team, we're just not available on the weekends at a point, because what we found is we were just being used more often than not, right? And we had trained, let me preface this with, we had trained our agents and our clients so well that they weren't doing stuff on the weekends either, very rarely. And if you were a dedicated agent, they knew how to get us. But that one-off client that's just a random from that realtor that never sends you anything, we weren't working that on the weekends. And did we lose a deal or two here and there? Maybe, but we had that mindset. It was okay. That's something else. Like, doing this, the actual implementation of this, guys, with the technology and it's, that's not the hard part. This is very easy to do, to implement. The biggest obstacle is that it's change, and it's your mindset, and it's shifting it away from I own everything and it has to be me to I'm relying on someone else and I'm trusting them or my business. And going into this, you have to realize that there may be some agents you lose.
Well, may.
No, I can tell you guys.
It's not a may.
There will. There will.
To interrupt. Point, yeah, it's not a may. It's 100%.
100%. I can vividly remember a conversation with two different agents when I was explaining that we're moving to the team phone line, why we're doing it, all of the benefits of it. Mind you, these are two agents that constantly complained that I was hard to get a hold of. And they point blank told me, well, if we can't call you and deal with you directly, we're not going to work with you and your team. And I said, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Best of luck in the future. They stopped sending me business. One of them ultimately came back. One of them didn't. The next year, right? Like, so 12 months from now, looking back when I had this conversation and I did it, my business had doubled. So I lost two agents, but my business doubled and my work-life balance infinitely improved.
That's what I was going to say, right? If you look at my, say, top five realtor partners from 2018, when I made this change to 2021, when I had my best year ever, there was not a single, that top five completely changed. There wasn't a single realtor in my top five in 21 that I had in 2018 in my business more than tripled, right? So it's okay. I was willing to lose a transaction or two to get an extra, you know, 50. I was okay with losing five agents to get another 50. Now, these weren't bad agents. These weren't bad people. These were great people. We're still friendly. It just didn't work for me. I couldn't do it all. And I couldn't continue to work, literally, Robert, you know, 80 or 90 hours a week. Yeah. I was burning myself out.
It wasn't sustainable.
Yeah, unsustainable. Well, we did it for 15 years. I did it for almost 15 years, but it became unsustainable.
Yeah. And that's the reason so many of you out there, as we talk about this, you cringe, guys, because you're worried about that little bit of loss of business. You're worried about it not being you. You're worried you're going to have someone on the phone that says the wrong thing. Again, that's why it's the baby steps.
And that's going to happen. You know, sorry to interrupt. That's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
And
there's nothing that can't be fixed, though.
One key thing to remember, you know, if it's something you're going to put in place and you're going to take your personal line and port that into your company's phone system, you really want to get an agreement signed with your company that says, you know, upon separation of employment, you know, they will transfer, they will port that number over within 24 hours of your request being sent. You do not want to get into a world, especially you get to where you're bringing in 80 leads in a month, that's 20 roughly leads in a week, and you're battling with your company to get your phone line back for a week, that will cost you a lot of money and miss business. And make sure you protect yourself. They're going to sign it, but if you don't ask them to sign it, then you're going to have to deal with the after fact of how they want to handle it.
Yeah, that's not where I thought you were going with that, Tom. That's why I laughed. But I think that is well said, and it's very important. Where I thought you were going is there's two ways to really kind of do this as you move to team number, right? The first is you just set up an entirely new phone number and you migrate people to that new phone number. That's what I did because I didn't want to give up my personal cell phone that I had had for years and all of my buddies from the Marine Corps had.
Right? I did the opposite.
You did the opposite, which is the second way, which is you change your personal number that everyone knows. You make it the team line, you go get a new personal number, and then your team, you know, has the new team phone, which is your old personal phone. If you do that, though, you might want to give your friends and family a heads up that you're doing it just to make sure that, you know, nothing inappropriate gets.
It's probably multiple what you're like and up. What your friends and family are like. Let's be clear on that. This isn't going to be a problem for everybody.
Right. But if you're a guy, like some guys have those guy friend text groups where jokes get shared, memes, whatever. Like if you have that kind of stuff going on, you want to give them the new number way in advance and make sure they're all moved to it and they're not sending stuff to your team line.
Yeah, you'll carry around two cell phones for a little bit maybe, but
yeah,
it'll be worth it.
That's funny. So many funny stories we could share on that, but we're not. We'll get off on sidetrack. So team phone is, you know, I think it's integral. It's kind of the first part. Get that monkey off your back. I honestly think that when you are able to do this and someone is always answering the phone and you don't have this laundry list of people to call back, you're going to capture more leads. You're going to convert better. You're going to have a higher level of service. It's going to be a little bit uncomfortable through change, but ultimately it's going to be a winning situation for you.
Well, what's even easier, and if I'm off topics, stop me. What's even easier than the team phone number is the team email address. That is so easy, and no one bats an eye at that.
Well, there's
something
organization around it. Yeah,
it is and it isn't. It's easy. I think it's easy to implement, and no one questions it. But from an LO perspective, from a letting go perspective, I think it's much more difficult because now, you know, are they answering the emails the right way? Is there something sitting? Is, you know, now something's in writing. Did they say the wrong thing?
Like, templates. My team uses templates for appraisals, yes. Closing disclosures, sending electronic documents. We have templates for basically when there's an introduction. It's
just an efficiency time saver anyway, and it ensures you're getting the communication in the way you want it communicated. I think that's really important. Yeah.
So, and I think that's a great segue, Dave, to the other half of the system is the team email, right? Email is the bane of our existence. It is a huge time suck for the originator. I literally remember where, you know, I'd be out all day and I would come home and I would have an hour and a half, 2 hours of just emails to respond to and stuff. And, you know, some of it's fluff, some of it's garbage. So for everyone that doesn't know, team email, it's a shared box, right? You, your loan partners, you can have whoever, and it all comes into one inbox. And then you filter it and answer it and it goes from there. So a lot of different ways that this can be set up. Again, I invented it, so I kind of have a good handle on it. Mm-hmm. The way me and my team did it is we were all in the same account. We use color coding. So you can set everybody with a color. Everyone's responsible for the inbox. We tried to work off of a zero inbox rule, right? So we had folders, leads, and then the customer, and then we would have files, and then so you'd start as a lead with a folder, and then you'd move to new active pipeline and then close pipeline. And basically the rule was, if the email was still in the inbox, there was something that needed to be done with it. Informational stuff like a title update, I don't need to see that. Now, out of the gate, I wanted to see everything, right? And that's how you guys are going to be. But as you grow and learn, your team's going to know the stuff that you don't care to see. And now you only get brought in on the fires that you need to be involved with. They're going to file all the rest of that crap. You use a color coding system. So Dave has, I think, 17 loan partners, right? So if one of them's in there and it's something that the other one needs to do, they've read it, they put their color on it. So now when the next loan partner comes in, you look at what's new and what has my color on it. And that's all you got to worry about. Dave goes in there. The only thing he's looking at is what's new, what hasn't been read yet. We deal with that. Put people's color on it, move it, whatever. And then what has my color on it? So it's got a lot of traffic, but very quickly and easily it becomes manageable because you're only working with what's new and what has your color on it. And then everything else gets filed away. Use the templates that Dave mentioned, use auto replies, and then you have consistent, intentional communication coming from your team. And really it streamlines everything.
So when you talk about your system, in the color coding, it is a completely separate email box that needs to be logged into. Is that correct? It's not going to their personal business email, if you were?
Correct. We set up a completely separate email address. It doesn't go into it's its own inbox. So when I look, I have my personal inbox, they have their personal inbox in Outlook, and then they have the team inbox in Outlook. And 90% of their day is spent in the team inbox. Like they don't get personal email unless it's something HR related or, you know, something of that nature.
Maybe this is something, see, I'm learning something here today, Tom and Robert, when you invented the team email, what was your name that you called it?
What do you mean?
What is your system called?
It's team email.
No.
You're thinking of the Fill Y'all Fantastic
file. Oh yeah, flow. I'm getting those mixed up. The invention
of the team email. That's a whole other thing.
Okay. And that's trademarked.
That's trademarked. Okay. Well, maybe we should talk to my team. Maybe next week we sit down with Robert and we talk to my team, Tom. See, I'm glad I did this podcast today.
So you have it all just coming into their personal email?
Yeah, and it's like too much.
Like a forwarding rule? Yeah, that's messy. Yeah. Listen, and the thing that I double love about the team email, right, with the folder system and the way that we do it is because it becomes a filing system as well. So I don't know everything about every file. I didn't want to. But if a client called me or if there was something that I needed to know, I could very quickly go into that file in the inbox and find all of the email traffic because we blind copy ourselves on everything. Anything we send, any response, we blind copy and we file that. So I literally would have everything and I could go in there in real time and see what happened. Title orders used to be a big one. You know, the title company and say, oh, we didn't get a title order. Throw us under the bus to the realtor. The realtor's calling me. Why don't we have a title order? Blah, blah, blah. I'd go in. Oh, here's our title order. We sent it on this date. Here's the email. Here's where you acknowledge receipt of it. Right. So it was a pretty cool tool.
I like it.
If I had to go and say what drastically changed the future of my business, it would be growing a team, right? Like That's the ultimate thing. But these two elements of growing a team changed my world. Because now it doesn't have to be me. I can take that vacation. I can go, I can take my wife to lunch on a Friday and not be worried that I'm missing a lead. And if I don't answer that call, they're going to pick up the phone and call Quicken. Like the freedom that comes from this, you can't even quantify it. It is massive and it will change your business.
But you have to be ready for it.
Have to be ready for it. And you have to be open to change. It's going to be uncomfortable to begin with. It's going to be uncomfortable to begin with.
Change is the one thing constant in our business. Embrace it. Embrace the ability to scale. Get some balance in your life. Don't hold back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as your business grows, you've got to grow with it. You don't look at it. There's not a company out there that uses the same systems and processes when they were a small company that uses the same things now, right? I mean, look at Tesla, Amazon, Google, pick one, Coke, right? You think Coke does things the same way today that they did in 1900? No, you adapt, you evolve, you change. Team phone and team email, they may seem like a small operational change, but they create this foundation that allows you just to rocket to the next hemisphere with your business. And what we all know in our business is communication is key. And when you can scale that, your production soon to follow.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, if you're out there and you're like, this sounds awesome, but I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. We're working on putting kind of a step-by-step playbook together. Raise your hand if you want that. Hit us up. I'd love to set up a one-on-one call with anyone that's interested in learning more. I just did this for a good friend of ours who's in a coaching group with us. I walked him through setting up team email, and he implemented it with his team. He texted me probably 6 weeks ago and said it's been a game changer for them. So we're happy to give back in that manner. Get with us. Also, if you haven't subscribed, go ahead and smash that subscribe now and make sure to leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate you guys tuning in. For Tom Mills and Dave Holland, I'm Robert Filyaw, Lending Leadership with the Mortgage Pros. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, y'all.